President of Hanukkah, we are in today's daf Yuma, in Yuma, Masechta Yuma, daf Chaf, and we're starting with the Mishnah. When the Mishnah in Yud Tesamen Beis, and we are continuing with the discussion on the Gemara regarding the Kohen Gadol as his preparation for Yom Kippur. We're past the Shivas Yimei Afrasha, we're not past, but at the end of the Shivas Yimei Afrasha, and the Gemara now is discussing exactly how he gets through the night of Erev Yom Kippur, of Leil Yom Kippur. So we talked earlier in the Masechta about his diet to make sure that he has not a Balkari. He stays up the whole night on Leil Yom Kippur so that he doesn't become a Balkari. And he also, yesterday's daf was an assurance and an insurance that he's not a Tzeduki. Concerned during by Shani that the Kohen Gadol may be of the Tzeduki sect, and he will do the Avoda in a non-traditional fashion. And I say non-traditional, I mean not with Torah Shabbat Peh, not with the Masorah. And so therefore, an oath is made that he's not a Tzeduki. He agrees to it. And the Gemara yesterday said, but on certain times he was in fact a Tzeduki. And as we noted yesterday, the big difference between the Tzeduki and the Purusha and Yom Kippur is that the Tzeduki understands the pasuk where he has to light the Ketoros before he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Purusha does not. The Purusha lights the Ketoros after having entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was a major difference. And fine. That's what we went through yesterday. Okay, so now we're trying to keep him up the whole night. So this Mishnah is going to continue the discussion of keeping him up the whole night. The Mishnah says, "Bikesh lihisnam name." He wants to take a seat. He wants to nap for just a moment. He's tired. It's Kohen Gadol. He's now we're halfway through the night, and he would like just a little snooze. So Pirchei Kohuna makin lefan of be'etzot sreida. So the Pirchei Kohuna Yam Kohanim are there to ensure that he doesn't fall asleep. So they snap their fingers. And they say, "Ishi Kohen Gadol, please hafeg achas al ritzba." We'll say pshat in the Mishnah later on exactly what that means. And basically, we get him involved, right, until the zman hashchita. All these expressions are going to be explained what exactly the Mishnah means. But basically, the point of the Mishnah is that we keep him up over the course of the night. Ma'at sreida. So first of all, we snap our fingers in front of his face. So what exactly does that mean? Was it sreida? The Mishnah says that pirchei kohuna makin lefanav be'etzpat sreida. So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda tzarasa. Sreida could also be read at tzarasa. Tzarasa, as we discussed time and again, means a co-wife. So tzarasa dada, the co-wife of this one. Now there are a couple ways of first let's finish the Gemara and then we'll explain. So mahi godel. So that means the godel, meaning the tzara of the godel, the co-wife of the godel. The godel is the thumb. So the way the Gemara could be read is as follows, and this is the way Rashi understands the Gemara. Basically, they would snap their fingers, but not in the conventional way that you and I would snap. But basically, you start with a godel, you take the tzara, the co-wife of the godel, that means the pointer, and you would snap the two together. Now, don't ask me to demonstrate, I don't know how to do it. Now, Rashi does say that he would smack it against the kaf, he would smack it against his leg, and so that would produce a sound. That's the way Rashi understands the snapping of the fingers. Tosfos Yerushalmi quotes Rabbeinu Tam, more conventional pshat in terms of how we understand snapping. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's the thumb and the middle finger. So if you take a look at the Tosfos Yerushalmi on the bottom, straight up perish bekunchus shu etzpa sheni legodo. So it's the second finger, and that's Rashi's pshat. Rabbeinu Tam perish kizuhi ama utsreda tsarasa deda shihi agodo. No, it's the Sara of the pointer, which is the middle finger, against the godel. V'chein shanin b'tosefta, and he quotes the tosefta, which indicates the same pshat as well. Ezu etzpat sreida, etzpa gedolo shel yamin. It's the largest finger, meaning the middle finger. V'chein ish b'yostar kol, and that's how a better sound can be produced when you're snapping a finger, as we understand in the conventional sense. And then he also points out that the payet, meaning one of the piyutim that was written on Yom Kippur, also follows this pshat. That's a reference to the third finger, meaning the middle finger. So it's the thumb against the middle finger. Okay, but basically, to say it simply, you snap his finger in order to keep him up. So machli Rav Huna v'alzo kala b'kula be'rav. So Rav Huna demonstrated. Okay, so he snapped his finger, and apparently he was very good at it. The sound was produced, and it went out through the entire yeshiva as he snapped his finger. V'omrim lo ishi kolon gadol hafeg achas al haritzpa. Okay, now we get to the next line of the Mishnah. Another way of trying to keep him up over the course of the night, achas al ritzpa. What does that mean? I'm Rav Yitzchak al chadas. So the al chadas, Rashi says, derech chidush hera alanu. Show us something new. What does that mean? What are we asking him to demonstrate? Mayhi? I'm relay ach v'kida. So he says, can you demonstrate Kida? Now I'd say it's a push-up, it's more than a push-up. So Achve Kida, if you take a look at Rashi, you know it's Godlov Ba'aretz. So you stick your thumb in the ground, V'shochev and no shake it to Ritzpa. You kiss the ground. V'omeid. Basically do a hand, do a handstand. Okay. So which means, by the way, the Kohen Gadol was pretty strong. Right. So anyway, but okay, in other words, physical exertion. That also helps keep him up the whole night. And finally, ma'asikin osa ashi agiyaz man ha-shechita. And the third method, so we have snapping of the fingers, we have him doing some form of push-up. And the third method of keeping him up is ma'asikin osa. So what does that mean? So we start with the Gemara, Tana lo yam ma'asikin osa lo bin navel v'lo b'chinur, not with a harp, not with another type of instrument, a flute, ela b'peh. But rather we give him speeches, inspirational speeches.
Why would they talk about using instruments on Yom
Kippur? Yeah, so it could be, now could very well be that, I was curious as to this as well, could be that the Braisa says don't do this simply because it's Aser. That's what the Braisa could mean. Or what the Braisa could mean is that maybe it's the base of Mikdash and ain't supposed to be Mikdash and it's not Aser per se, but still that's just not the way to do it. And also,
do we know if they played any instruments on Yom Kippur?
And for the Avoda they would play instruments, and on Yom Kippur, I don't know. I'm not sure. All right. Why not? Good. Okay, so why not? All right, maybe. So, Ela B'peh. So, Umahyu Omrim. And what were some of those inspirational speeches they would give him to keep him up the whole night? Im Hashem lo yibanabai shav amalo bonav. I'm sorry, shav amalo bonav bo. So, all your effort and all your... it will go to vain if we don't get it done. Meaning, in other words, you can put in all the effort you want, but Klomar Rashi says he's a'er b'avodascha. You got to be careful. Shetei l'shem shamayim, shetei l'ratzos. You want the avoda to be a ritzui. Shim ein ritzuya, ein torchacha ole l'klom. Because if it's no ritzui, then all your effort's going to go for naught. Otherwise stated, simply put, don't fall asleep. It's not, now's not the time. Mikir Yerushalayim lo yishenim. Kol ha'layla, kidei shishma kohen gadol kol avara. Okay, misery loves company. So the Yikir Yerushalayim, the Makir Yerushalayim, dignitaries in Yerushalayim, they would also stay up the whole night. Meaning so that the Kohen Gadol realizes he's not the only one staying up the whole night. Others are staying up the whole night as well. And so therefore it'll help him, it'll encourage him to stay up the whole night. Velote Shena Chot Faso, he won't be gripped by the sleep. Tanya Abishalom Af Begvulin Hayos in Cain. And they would do this also in Gvulin as well, meaning there then became a mass minhag of staying up the whole night. The Kohen Gadol staying up the whole night. The Makir Yerushalayim are staying up the whole night. Okay. Started spreading. The minhag started spreading. Zech LeMikdash. And it reminds us of the base of Mikdash. Ela Shayu Chotin. However, the Gemara points out, not a good minhag. Right? It led to chet, just being up the whole night. Amar Abai B'Yitem Rav Nachma Yitzchak Targumu Narada. And then the Gemara, oddly, strangely, identifies a particular city where this minhag went awry. Where it didn't go well. Where they stood up the whole night in Yom Kippur and it just led to sin, to promiscuous behavior. Conversation takes place between Eliyahu and Navi and Rav Yehuda, where the conversation, Amrisu, Amai lo asi Mashiach, v'ha'ina yom de kippuruhu, v'evol kama besulta b'nahardo. And the reason why the Gemara pinpoints Naharda as being the place where the minhag led to a disaster and promiscuous behaviors throughout the night is because the conversation that takes place between Eliyahu and Navi and one of the Amoraim, where basically Eliyahu says, do you know why Mashiach isn't coming? I'll tell you why. Because today's Yom Kippur and Ve'evel Kama Besulta B'Naharda, and in the town of Naharda, so Besultas were no longer Besulas in the town of Naharda. So, and it's hard to imagine Yom Kippur, meaning, you know, Kodesh HaKadoshim, but okay. Amar Lei Kadosh Baruch Hu, my Amar. So, okay, what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu's response? What was his reaction? So, Amar Lei Lefetach Hatas Reveitz. So, he quotes from the first Musar Shmuz given in the Torah, after Cain kills Hevel. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu sits Cain down, gives him a very short Musar Shmuz. And the Musar Shmuz basically was Lefetach Hatas Reveitz. You know, that's the Yetzer Hara, it's crouching right by the door. And Rashi writes over here, it's one Rashi on this on the sugya, Yetzer Hara machti o bal karcho. This is the Yetzer Hara. In other words, no other way to describe it. V'satan my amar, what's Satan's reaction? So usually it's interesting, because usually Satan and Yetzer Hara are two synonymous terms. In this Gemara it doesn't seem to be that way. In this Gemara it seems to be that we are describing two different phenomena, or however you want to say it. But what's son's reaction? So Amar Lei, son b'yom haKippur leis leidur rishusa. So he says, son on Yom Kippur, no, son on Yom Kippur doesn't have any rishus, no dominion. Le'istune, to prosecute us. Mimai, and how do I know that this is so? Amrami Barchama, I thought the Megamatria tlas me avishis and varba. Because you take the word hasatan, you got to keep the A in there in order for this to work. So you take the hasatan, it comes out to Gematria 364. Have a klas me avishis and varba yume. Isle rishusa. So that means that 364 of the 365 days of the year, Satan has rishus in order to be misatain, in order to prosecute. However, yuma de kippur leisle rishus listune, but not in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur doesn't have rishus. Now,
there's a different function between the Satan and the Yetzirah over here. The Yetzirah still has rishus to entice people to go theirs on Yom Kippur, but to go and to bring that to their bunch.
Right, they just I agree. Now the obvious issue is that the Gemara here, the Gemara is employing Gematria. Fine, that's not an issue. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says it's Papar Shel Torah. That's fine. But it's certainly interesting that the Gemara uses the 365, the solar year, as opposed to the lunar year. So I saw a couple of pshatim in terms of why specifically the solar year, but just the simple pshat, I saw this in the sieve, the simple pshat is that it's just a remez, meaning, in other words, whether it's solar year or lunar year, so the point is that there's just one day a year where the satan doesn't have dominion. Okay, and we assume it's Yom Kippur.
Well, if you work it out 365 days a year, eventually they even out anyway.
Correct. Okay, Adkan. All right, so that now takes us to regarding the Kohen Gadol, staying up the whole night. Okay. And now we begin the next Mishnah, and with this next Mishnah, so now we're going to start the Avodas Hayom. Now, really, the Avodas Hayom is going to begin the second parak, like we discussed earlier in the Masechta. The second parak is really where the Avodas Hayom is being described in more detail, but this is just a more generic discussion of Avodas Hayom, and of course, obviously, we translate it to Yom HaKippurim. But this is really just a more generic discussion. What's the first avoda of every day? So if you asked me, I'd say the Olas HaTamid. The Olas HaTamid is the first avoda. That's not what our Mishnah is going to be discussing. Because that's not really the first avoda of every day. The first avoda of every day is the Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen goes like this. Every day there's carbonos being offered. Some days a lot, some days a little. But when the carbon is offered, so that means that we're going to be burning and the animal on the Mizbeach. And the animal is going to be burnt and reduced to ashes. If it's a busy day in the base of Mikdash, you can have a lot of ash on the Mizbeach. So what do we have to do? You know, like any good sanitation worker, we got to clean the ash. The Kohanim go up onto the Mizbeach and take off the ash. Now, there are two components to this mitzvah of taking off the ash. There's what's called Trumas HaDeshen, and then there was what's called Haramas HaDeshen. Okay, let's go over each one. Trumas HaDeshen is every single day, one shovel full of ash is taken off of the Mizbeach, the top of the Mizbeach, walked down the ramp, and deposited on the east side of the Mizbeach, the Samusham. A nace takes place during the time of the Bais, maybe during Bais Sheni as well, that I'm not sure about, but a nace takes place where that one shovel full of ash basically sinks right into the ground. No more than one shovel full is taken off, or as Rashi right here on this Amud points out, there is a minimum shear. You have to take off at least a kometz, a fistful, but short of that, though, there is no requirement to clean off the top of the Mizbeach. It's just Truma Sadeshin, like the word Truma indicates. It's a harama. It's just a small amount that's taken off. And that's done every day, and that's the first avodah that's done in the morning. What time in the morning? That's going to be our topic of discussion over the course of this Mishnah. And then there's what's called Harama Sadeshin. Harama Sadeshin basically means, okay, there's still a lot of ash on the top of the Mizbeach. That all needs to get cleaned out. So as needed, so the Kohen would go to the top of the Mizbeach and be Meirim, not Meirim HaSadeshen. Yeah. Vahotzias HaDeshen, Hotzas HaDeshen. Sorry, not Trumas. That would be Hotzas HaDeshen. That would be where he literally cleans out all the ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. So basically there's room for more burning of more carbonos. Okay. So those are the two mitzvahs. We're just going to be focusing on the Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen that was done every day, Cohen would be doing the avoda in the early morning. So the question now is, what time in the morning is it going to be done? So here's where it gets interesting. It's an avoda. It qualifies as an avoda. Now, generally speaking, what do we say regarding an avoda? Avoda has to be done during the day. There is no avoda that's done over the course of the night. Now, yes, Hector, Evar Mechalavim. The burning of the fats on the limbs of a carbon is done over the course of the night. But that's just the finality of the avoda. The avoda itself is a shechting of the carbon and hazas adam and sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. And then then yes, we're going to burn that on top of the mizbeach. And understanding that the burning takes time, so license is given to burn it over the course of the night. But that's not the avoda that's done over the course of the night. So the Trumas Adeshin, which qualifies as an avoda, so it has to be done during the day, not during the night. So when is it done? So that's what the Mishnah is going to be discussing. B'chol yom, tormin and mizbeach b'kriyas hagever. So every day, so they would do the Trumas Adeshin, kriyas hagever. Kriyas hagever, the calling out of the gever. Okay. Could mean a rooster, could mean a person. That's Amud Beis of today's daf. Osamuch lo ben lefano ben la'acharav. Now in terms of exactly when it's done, so that doesn't have to be precise. Sometime around Kriyas Hagever. Could be a little bit earlier, could be a little bit later. But in other words, the very early part of the morning. That is, generally speaking, when the Trumas Adeshin is done. Over Yom HaKippurim, Mechatzos. Now in Yom Kippur, it's backed up to midnight. We do it earlier on Yom Kippur because we'll get to the because of in just a moment. But right now, let's just say it's done early in the morning on Yom Kippur. Not early in the morning, I apologize. Midnight. It's done midnight on Yom Kippur. Over Regalim. Now, what about on Yontif? Even earlier on Yontif. Me'ashmura Arishona. The first Ashmura. You remember the Gemara in the beginning of Brachos where the Gemara divides the night either into three Ashmuros or four Ashmuros. Right? Machlok is over there in the beginning of Brachos. But the first, whichever way it is, three or four, so you're either talking about the first third of the night or the first quarter of the night. That's when the Trumas Adeshin was done on Yontif. Why so early? So basically the Mishnah gives away the answer. Because on Yontif, there's a lot of people assembling in the Azara. We're going to have a lot of Jews who are going to want to bring carbon on Yontif. Think about it. Yontif, there's a mitzvah upon every Jew to bring carbon chagiga, olas ri'iya, shalmei simcha, all the carbonas on Yontif. Basically, people understood the long lines of Yontif. So people would get there early. By the time you got to Kriyas Hagever, says the Mishnah, the entire Azara was filled with Jewish people waiting to bring the carbon. And so therefore, knowing the crowds, so the Trumas Adeshin was done early, meaning even prior to midnight, even at the first Ashmura. Okay, the question basically is the following question. I mean, just to preview the Gemara's discussion over here. I mean, I can understand Kriyas Hagever. Kriyas Hagever, fine, that's the early morning. Meaning, let's say it's after Amud HaShachar. It's after dawn, as the Gemara says time and again. The day really begins at dawn. Sunrise, we know for sure the day has begun, because we have hard physical evidence that the day has begun, the sun rose. And the Gemara Bracha says that sunrise is the best time to daven Shemoneh Esrei, right? That's a hiddur. But in other words, but we know the day really begins at dawn. That we know. So to say that the Trumas Adeshin occurs at the Kriyas Hagever, so that's explainable, easily. Meaning that we're doing this avoda of the Trumas Adeshin, the removal of one ashful one shovelful of the ashes off the top of the Mizbeach, and taking it off the top of the Mizbeach, so that is done, let's say it's dawn, but then on Yom Kippur it's back up to midnight. Now midnight, certainly, it's too early, meaning we can't call that day. And on Yontif, it's backed up to the first Ashmura, meaning it's not even midnight yet. And yet we're taking ashes off. We're doing Trumas Adeshin. And so basically, the question that the Gemara is going to deal with is, how can you do it so early? Meaning, how can you do the Trumas Adeshin either in the middle of the night, which is Yom Kippur, or not even the middle of the night? It starts sometime around, let's say, 10 p.m., 11 p.m. How can you do the Trumas Adeshin that early? Basically, what is nighttime? So, the Gemara kind of introduces us to this question by first introducing us to a Mishnah. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah deals with the following. Yivarm shepaku me'agabe ha-mizbeach. So a lot of heat on top of the mizbeach. There's a fire raging. There's limbs being burnt. And so, you know, when you make a bonfire, so you hear the crackling as so much heat and so much exhaust. So things are going to be flying off the mizbeach. And it's possible that a limb is burning on the top of the mizbech and it just flies off the mizbech due to the excessive heat. So the Mishnah Zvachim says, no problem. So if this occurs before midnight, So, fine. Take the limb and march it right back up to the top of the Mizbeach and continue burning the limb. And furthermore, says the Mishnah in Zvachim, there's a din me'ila, meaning that if you benefit from that limb, even though the carbon was shechted, and even though it was cut up in the limbs, and even though it was put up on the top of the Mizbeach, it still qualifies as Kadshe Hashem. And by Me'ila, those are the critical words, Kadshe Hashem. When something qualifies as Kadshe Hashem, so at that point there's a Din Me'ila. So if you benefit from that limb prior to midnight, so you violate the Isser of Me'ila. There is a difference. But we're talking about limbs that were burning on top of the Mizbech. Obviously, they're Kadshe Kadshim. By definition. If there were shlamim, there'd be no limbs being burned on the Mizbech. There's a murim being burnt. Right, okay, but there's no limbs being burnt. So we're talking, right, the Mishnah over here is talking about a varim. Okay? So anyway, so there's going to be a din of Me'ila. So therefore, march it back up to the top of the Mizbech. La'acher chatzos, and then the Mishnah says, and after midnight, lo yachzir, there's no need to return it, ve'ein molen behen, and there's no din of Me'ila, meaning, nase mitzvah so, the mitzvah has been done, and so therefore we're done. Okay, is there a hider maybe to put it back on the Mizbech? Maybe, possibly, I don't know. But what I do know, however, is that the mitzvah's done, and so therefore there's no longer a din of Me'ila. That is the Mishnah in Zvachim. Now, before we formulate the question, you know, we're going with all this. We're going to be asking a question in just a moment. So, how can you do the Trumas Hadeshin that early? But before we get to that question, first, an explanation of this Mishnah in Zvachim. Where in the Torah does it say midnight becomes the critical hour? And we're not talking about Pesach right now. We're talking about vis-a-vis Karbanos. How do I know that midnight is like the critical hour? That if you have a limb on the top of the Mizbech prior to midnight, that's a limb. That needs burning. If it flies off the Mizbeach, march it right back on. And after midnight, nasa mitzvaso. We're good. Mitzvah's been accomplished. Where did we find that in the Torah? So, minani milama rav, kasavechad omer. So we have our first approach, the approach of Rav. We have two psukim, which seem to contradict one another, called laila vihiktir. The limbs of the karbanos are burned over the course of the entire evening. The kasavechad omer, call halaila veheirim. The entire night, heirim, meaning you're allowed to do Trumas Hadeshin. Now, what does that mean? If you can do Trumas Hadeshin, that means, you know what that's called on the top of the Mizbeach? Ash. Burnt. Mitzvah's done. So one pasuk indicates that over the course of the whole night, you do Haktara. You're burning the whole night, meaning you're reducing it to ash, but it's not yet ash. Another pasuk indicates, no, you do Truma the whole night, meaning that the whole night is basically anything on the found on the top of the Mizbech qualifies as ash, even if it's not yet burnt. So, HaKetzad. So, obviously, the two Pesukim are at odds with one another. So, Shtei Ksuva Ma'amachishim Zeh. So, you have two Pesukim contradicting one another. Now, if we had Pasuk Shlishi, that'd be great. But there is no Pasuk Shlishi. So, the Gemara explains, Ketzad, so what do you do with these two Pesukim? Chalkehu. So, we'll split decision. Compromise. Chetziv la haktar v'chetziv la rama. So half of it will be haktar and the half of it will be al rama. Meaning up to midnight, that's the pasuk of Hector. That's where you're burning it. After midnight, harama. Everything on the top is considered already ash. Okay.
Why doesn't the Gemara just say that the first issue of when you have to put it back on is when the fire has not caught on to most of the limb.
Okay.
And therefore, the mitzvah has not yet
right.
been done.
Right. Now, eventually, the Gemara is going to get to that point.
What it means, maybe.
Okay.
Because maybe by midnight.
There's going to be a second mahalach in the psukim, but right now, the Rav's mahalach in the psukim is just very, very simple. Just take the night and divide into two parts. So, Meisav Rav Kahana bechol yom terminus mizbech bekriyas agever o samuchlo beimolfana beimolacharav yom kippur mechatzos vergalem meyashmur harishona. So now the Gemara formulates its question. Okay, so Rav, you're telling me now that on the Mizbeach, there are two times on the Mizbeach, before midnight, after midnight. And you're telling me that before midnight, mitzvah vaktara, that's when you burn. And after midnight, muktar, it's burnt. It's now ash, subject now to the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin. That's what you're telling me. So now let's go over our Mishnah. Our Mishnah in Yuma, Daf Chaf Amad Aleph. Our Mishnah says, what do you do? So, on any given day, so you do the Trumas Hadeshin in the morning, Kriyas Agever, early morning, that's fine. And on Yom Kippur, you do it at midnight. And I can even understand that as well. But then when you get to Yantav, Ashmura, Rishona, you're doing it already at the end of the first Ashmura, somewhere around 10, 11 at night. You can't do that. In other words, it's not subject to the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen yet. Trumas Hadeshen cannot begin until after midnight. So, Rav, based on your understanding of how we are going to take these two psukim and the division of the night to two parts, so how do you understand our Mishnah? Adkan, the question of the Gemara. Answer, top of the next Amud. Now, Rav, if you're telling me that the division of the night is a din daraisa, meaning what did you do? By taking the two psukim that are associated with one another, but the resolution is dividing the two psukim, one pasuk is up till midnight, the other pasuk is from midnight and on, so you're telling me that min ha-Torah, anything on the top of the mizbeach prior to midnight is not muktar. You're being mocked it. You're burning it, but it's not muktar. So how can you do Trumas Hadeshen before midnight? Hehechi makteminan. So how can I make it any earlier? Now there is a gears in the Gemara, which you can see. It's in the parentheses. Hehechi machrinan. Okay, Rashi takes it out. Tosus keeps it in. It's a discussion. But let's just deal with the postures of the Gemara's question. So how can you make it any earlier? Ela Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say a new pshat. Meaning, and it seems like from the Gemara that this is a new pshat. First of all, we have the word Ella. Whenever you see the word Ella, Ella comes in the Gemara as a way of basically saying rejection of the previous pshat, and now a suggestion of a new pshat. The same sugya is found in Tzvachim. The Gemara in Tzvachim, to be fair and honest, doesn't seem like Rav Yochanan saying a new pshat. Could be that he's saying this is pshat and Rav. Okay, but again, let's just deal with the simplicity of the Gemara. Right, let's try to make this simple. It's not that simple, but let's try to make it simple. So Elam Rav Yochanan mimash mashenamar kol alayla ina yodea shuhad aboker. So Rav Yochanan says no. The division of the night does not happen at midnight. Meaning that Rav Yochanan is rejecting this idea that there's a prior to midnight and there's an after midnight. No. So, and Rav Yochanan is going to now attack this from a different angle. And that is as follows. Mimashma, shenemer kol alayla, it says regarding the burning of the karbanos that it occurs all night. And then the Torah says, ad haboker, until morning. Okay, once you say all night, I know all night means up until the morning. So in other words, the words ad haboker are miyusar. They are extra words. So what are they coming to do? Uma tamalomer ad haboker, tain boker lebekaro shalayla, meaning that we're going to give a boker period for the night. In other words, I'll give it a term: artificial morning. Meaning there's real morning. That's when it starts getting light outside, right? Kros agever amud hashachar, however you want to say it. And then there's going to be another boker period. Why? Because the Torah adds these words ad haboker, and they're extra words. So hilkach. So therefore. So on any given day, so you do kriyas agever, meaning you'll do it the real morning, right? Dawn kriyas agever, when the person of the rooster calls out. That's when we normally will do Trumas Hadeshen. B'yom HaKippurim, the ika chulsha de Kohen Gadol. But now when it comes to Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol is weak, he's been up the whole night. He's going to be working the entire next day. So avdinan michatzos. So therefore, start already from chatzos. Meaning we can attach a boker period to the night. We have that license to do so. Rav Yochanan says, and why? What gives us a license to do so? That's the words, ada boker. And then uveregalim, the nefisha yisrov, the nefisha karbanos, and then anyantav, where? There's going to be a lot of people. And on top of that, a lot of karbanos. So therefore, Avdina Mashmarsa Rishona Kediktani Taima Loisa Kriyas Agever Megasa Shaisa Azar Malem Yisrael. And in terms of Yantav, where there's a lot of people and there's a lot of activity, so therefore you back it up even earlier. So in other words, according to Rav Yochanan disputes Rav. Rav Yochanan says no, it's not a division of the day. I'm sorry, it's not a division of the night prior to Chatzos, after Chatzos, but rather according to Rav Yochanan, really, you have what's called, what I'll call, boker, the real morning, and ada boker. And then this artificial morning, where what the Torah basically does is allows us, grants us license when necessary, as needed, to be mocked him to move up the Trumas Hadeshen. On a normal day, Kriyas Gever. But if there are, if there's another consideration, like Chusha de Kohen Gadol, so then you can back it up on Yom Kippur to midnight. Or because of the multitude of the Jewish people who are bringing Karbanos on Yontif. So you can back it up even earlier. So this Ad HaBoker just simply grants us license to back it up even earlier. Okay.
If we're talking about, only about Trumas HaDeshe, mm-hmm. What do I care how many Jews are in the Azor who are going to be bringing Karbanos? What do I care? Kohen goes up to the Mizbeach, takes a shovelful, goes down,
right.
Finished.
Right.
I don't care how many Karbanos there are coming or going. Like, what's the,
and, the simple shot in the Gemara is that he's going to be finding his way through the crowd, meaning that there's going to be just tons of people there already at midnight. So to get
inside the Azor by the Mizbeach, I don't believe so. Because Klal Yisrael is not allowed to go there.
All right, I understand that, but that's a, okay, I hear you, but the simple pshat of the Gemara is that they were there. Okay.
The only thing I was thinking of saying is like this, that we know that people go on a lot of Karbonis Erev Yom Tov. We know that people are going to bring Karbonis on Yom Tov.
Right.
And therefore they were mocking the Trumas Hadeshin so that they had a lot of time to do Hoytzos Hadeshin. Because there was a lot of ash already on from Erev Yom Tov, and they were going to have to add a lot more on Yom Tov.
Okay, quite.
But it's not exactly what the Gemara seems to be saying.
Right, that's right. That's what I'm saying. The simple pshat of the Gemara, they were there. Okay, can we just touch on one other issue? And it's the Rishonim are bothered by this issue. Who did the Trumas Hadeshen, meaning on Yom Kippur? Meaning that we know the Kohen Gadol did all the Avoda. Right? The Karban Tamid Shel Shachar, the Kohen Gadol did that. Kohen Gadol did all the Avoda on Yom Kippur. Any other day of the year, he can do the Avoda. He's allowed to. He has a license to do so. Where he can come and step in anytime he wants. We learned that a couple of Mishnahs ago. He could step in anytime he wants and he could do the Avoda. But on Yom Kippur, as a mitzvah, he does the Avoda on Yom Kippur. All the Avodas on Yom Kippur, including Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Barabayim, everything's done by the Kohen Gadol. And the Trumas Hadeshen, Kohen Gadol's doing the Trumas Hadeshen. So, it touches on a very basic question. The Trumas Hadeshen is an Avoda. Okay? And in fact, the Gemara is trying to figure out how we can do it so early in the morning. And we have a drasha by Rav, and we have a drasha by Rav Yochanan, Ad HaBoker. We're talking about an artificial morning in the middle of the night, so that we have the allowance to bring the Trumas Hadeshen. But basically, if I can just try to, give more description to this question, is Trumas Hadeshen really an avoda for the day? Or no, it's an avoda at night that's somehow allowed to be done over the course of the night.
So if you,
right. So if you take a look at the Tosfos Yeshanim, true of the matter is, and Tosfos as well, discuss whether or not the Kohen Gadol would be doing it. Mikan Mashma, Tosfos Yeshanim, the first one in the summit, in my Gemara it's on the bottom. Mishum Chushu the Kohen Gadol Avdina Mechatzos. Mikan Mashma, Shaya Kohen Gadol Ose Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, so the Kohen Gadol would be doing the Trumas Hadeshen. Period. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara. Because think about what our Gemara says. Why are we backing up to midnight? Mishum chulsha de Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol he's got a lot of work to do. So if he gets it over with, right? I know I'm speaking a little irreverently, but if he gets it over with by midnight, so he'll have time to sit and just rest a little bit before he goes on to the rest of the day. That's what it sounds like. Now it's true, says Tosfos Yeshanim, that later on we're going to be talking about the lottery, and it's true that we're giving, that we're putting the Trumas Hadeshen as part of the lottery, but that's not Yom Kippur. That's talking about the rest of the year. The rest of the year, Trumas Hadeshen is subject to a lottery. But on Yom Kippur itself, the Kohen Gadol is doing the Trumas Hadeshen. The Hasan Nami Ketani Mishochin Mizorek Mimedashin Va'afa Pita Tzarech Lekadish Adavergal of Trumas Hadeshen Ve'ein Zemich Cheshbon Chamesh Shvilos Vasar Kiddushin. And Tosfos Yeshanim is bothered by another question. Okay, so it's an avoda. Trumas Hadeshen is an avoda. You have to be prepared. You need to tovel the mikvah. You need to wash your hands and your feet. And later on, we're going to be talking about 5 and 10. Right? Those numbers are going to hit us again and again. 5 tefillos, and 10 times you're washing your hands. And if the Trumas Hadeshen is in fact being done by the Kohen Gadol, so it's not 5 and 10. 5 and 10 are all accounted for. We're going to see the Masechta, we're going to see all the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, they're all accounted for. So this would mean an additional tefillah, an additional Kiddush Yadayim Ve'Regliim. Lefisha Haisa Ba'od Laila Kom Shiaschol Avodas Hayom Hayayachol Atz Itzchus La'Azara Chus La'Azara. So Tosfos says, okay, but that, again, you're right. He's going to have to be. He's going to have to be mikasher diamond. He's going to have to tov on the mikvah. Agreed, but he won't have to do it in the azara. It's not yet daytime. So in other words, it just doesn't count. It doesn't count towards the 5 and 10. So Tosfos Yeshanim is of the opinion that the Kohen Gadol would be the one on Yom Kippurim doing the Truma Sedeshin, and he's supported by the Lashon of Our Gemara, because Our Gemara says, Chusha de Kohen Gadol. Okay. Right. Right. So, right. So, so. Right. So, what's required then, and if you take, now good, now if you take, right, it's Phil pointed out, if you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos disagrees. He quotes the Riva, one of the Balei Tosfos. Now, what's critical over here to this pshat is you have to change the gears of the Gemara. In fact, if you take a look at Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos, right, he three lines on the bottom. The Riva perished the low Garstina and Kohen Gadol. Elahachi Garstina Mishum Chushu de Kohen. Kodem Sha'a Kohen Hatarm Ye Chalash. Okay, so the so it's not Chushu de Kohen Gadol, it's Chushu de Kohen. All right, so.
We can still say Kohen Gadol because it would delay the.
It's for the Kohen Gadol, right? It's for, you, oh, I hear what you're right. Correct, you know? Correct. All right, either way.
Is it perhaps also dependent on? I think later on, it's a Braiser or there's an Amara who says that a person who goes to the mikvah tonight to do the Trumas Abdeshin doesn't have to go for the Avodah. He doesn't have to go again when you start the Avodah at the beginning of the day, and there's two
and it could right
there. And depending on which lotion you go, so.
Okay, quite possibly. Okay, so again, so another basic discussion coming up from today's daf is the Kohen Gadol is the one doing the Truma Sedeshin, so subject to a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. Okay, back to the Gemara. Okay, one more topic we're going to be covering over the course of this morning, and that is Kriyas HaGever. Okay, we've been saying now a number of times that on a general day in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Truma Sedeshin is done at Kriyas HaGever. Okay, so when exactly is Kriyas HaGever? So I said in the morning, okay, dawn. But Kriyas HaGever is actually somebody's calling out. So who's calling out? So we have over here a classic machlokas. My Kriyas HaGever, Rav Amar Kra HaGavra, Rav Shila Amar Kra Tanagola. So according to Rav, it's a person, right? A veker. The person who was calling out in the Beis HaMikdash, telling everyone to get up and to rise, and there are Mishnayos, and we'll see in just a moment, and we saw in Shkalim not that long ago, that somebody was calling out early in the morning, and that's the Kriyas HaGever. Kriyas HaGever, Gever means a person. And according to Rabbi Shila, no, it's Kriyas Tanagola. It's a rooster. Right? And in the morning when we make the Brachas HaShachar, so the first Brachas HaShachar we make is, Hanosin Lesechvi, Bina Lahavchin, Bein Yom Vein Laila. So Hanosin Lesechvi, so what does the word Sechvi mean? So you look in your parish of Siddur, and you'll see that basically there are two pshatim. Either it's talking about sechvi, meaning the person, or sechvi, meaning the rooster. So, very similar to our Gemara over here in terms of the ambiguity of the word Kriyas HaGever. So now the Gemara, so we're fine. So it's the Machlokas HaMaraim. Now the Gemara over here gets a little dramatic. Rav Ikla L'Asri de Rabbi Shila. There was an occasion once where Rav went to the town of Rabbi Shila. Okay, so they were contemporaries. Lo Hava Amara L'Mekam Alad de Rabbi Shila. So Rabbi Shila didn't have an Amara. Okay, you know how it worked back in the good old days? So the Rebbe was giving shiur. The Rebbe didn't have a loud voice. He wasn't able to broadcast his shiur. So he had what was called an Amora. We usually refer to Amoraim as Chachamim of the Gemara. But Amora in the literal sense means Amar. Meaning he was the human microphone of the Talmud Chacham delivering the shiur. So the Talmud Chacham would be saying the shiur over to the Amora. And then the Amora would broadcast.
Right.
And on top of that, Nachon, he was also right. He also. Not only did he increase the volume, but he also increased the understanding. So he spoke right. So he spoke in the language that everyone spoke.
But that only applied when Balkoyer, when somebody was learning from Tanakh. But here, when a Rav was giving shiur, he gave it in the same language.
No. Well, we're going to see. I mean, this story is going to indicate that's not so. So let's see the story. So lamekam alad Rabbi Shila. So kam Rav alel. So vekam efarish. So now Rav says, okay, look, it's not normally my position. I'm not normally the Amora. Probably Rav was on the other end. Rav was usually the Talmud Chachim giving the shiur, but it was not his town. It was not his community. It was Rav Shila's community. And so Rav says, okay, I'll step in as the Amora. No one else was here. So he stepped in. Vekam efarish my Kriyas HaGever kra gavra. So now we got to Kriyas HaGever. So Rabbi Shila was whispering in Rav's ear, Okay, Kriyas HaGever. And Rav announced to the people, you know what Kriyas HaGever means? It means Kriyas HaGever, the calling out of a person. Now, we happen to know, we were given the background information to know, this will create a controversy. Because Rav Shila held that Kriyas HaGever meant the calling of a rooster. The proclamation of a rooster. And we know that Rav understood that Kriyas HaGever meant the proclamation of a person. So even though Rav stepped in and did something very nice, he was working for Rabbi Shila, but just a simple pshat that Rav gave was very controversial, at least to Rabbi Shila. So Amale Rabbi Shila Valei Mamar Kra Tarnagola. So Rabbi Shila pulled Rav inside and said, do me a favor, could you correct yourself? Meaning it's not Kriyas HaGever, it's Kriya Tarnagola. Could you please say it correctly? So Amarle, so Rav sounds like he got a little bit offended, or at least did not like to be corrected on this issue. Avuv Lechari Zemer Legardaila Mikablumine. Strong line of the Gemara. The flute that played for the nobleman. So you don't think the flute is going to be good enough for the gardai, for the weaver? Meaning I was an amora for others, and I was masbir for others, for what he referred to as noblemen. And I said this pshat, and the pshat was fine for others. And now for you, it's not going to be fine. And yes, it does sound like Rav is referring to Rabbi Shila as a gardai, like as a weaver. And he was referring to, and he was referring to his uncle. So Kiava Kaimna Aled Rabbi Chia. The Gemara explains Kiava Kaimna Aled Rabbi Chia. Umefarshin Amay Kriyas HaGever Kra Gavra. And when I was in front of my uncle Rabbi Chia, and he said Kriyas HaGever, and I explained as Kriyas Gavra. V'lo Amarli V'lo Midi. He didn't object whatsoever. The At Amartli Ema Kra Tarnagola. And now you're telling me how to say pshat? It's not right. So Amarle Mar. I'm sorry, Mar Niu Rav. So Rav Neinach Mar. Rashi explains. So so Rabbi Shila says to Rav, Sha'ata Ragula Kum Rashi. Sha'ata Ragula Targim Lefnei Rabbi Chia Shuhu Dodcha. Meaning, so let's get this straight. So you normally are Matargim in front of Rabbi Chia, who understandably is your uncle. Fine. Neinach Mar. So you, this is Rabbi Shila saying to Rav, so you should have a seat. But he wasn't saying this as an insult. Rashi, at least according to Rashi, Shevait Lech v'Shev bechvodecha she'eni kedai shetehe metorgam ni. It's not right. You shouldn't be my metorgam. This is Rabbi Shila talking, meaning okay. Now I understand. So you normally are metargam, are the amora for Rabbi Chia, and now you're going to be metargam for me. That's not right. Okay, so you should have a seat. But again, you should have a seat. Not meaning this is beneath you to be my amora. Amrale, Amri Inshi, so Rav says, no, I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to still do my job. E tagartle puts imre. E tagartle puts imre. There's an old expression. If you're hired to do a job, you do whatever you're asked to do. It doesn't matter. So the puts imre, you want to comb the wool, which apparently was not a very exciting job, and somewhat demeaning job, doesn't matter. In other words, you do it. You do whatever when you're hired to do something, you do it. So here also, Rav says, look, you may be right. Meaning you're right. I am normally the Amora for Rabbi Chia. But right now, I accepted myself to be your Amora. I'm going to continue being your Amora. Oh, how appropriate to Hanukkah. Malam Bekosh V'lo Maridin. We go up in Kedusha, we don't go down in Kedusha. And so therefore, I'm here.
You don't want somebody lesser than me.
Correct. All right. And right. Doesn't sound like. Correct. Rashi says, "Genai hadrasha hu she'ered ani v'yakum pachos mimene legomra." I should sit down, and somebody else is going to get up, and that somebody else may not be me. Okay. And I understand it.
But that's the shittas of Shila. You say that I'm too high to be your target.
Right.
So what, you'd be some lower than me. Then right. My
right. So it's just not right. So either way. So Rav refused. He demurred. He said, no, I'm not gonna step down. Okay. Adkan. Okay. So that was the drama for today, Rav and Rabbi Shila, in terms of what. But when all said and done, though. What is Kriyas HaGever of our Mishnah? Machlokas Amarai, Machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Shila. Tanya Kavad say the Rav, Tanya Kavad say the Rabbi Shila, and the Gemara points out, we have Brises. Brises supporting Rav, Brises supporting Rabbi Shila. Tanya Kavad say the Rav. So for today, we're just going to see the Brises supporting Rav. Tomorrow, we'll see the Brises supporting Rabbi Shila. Gvini Kurzma Omer. So we have Gvini Kruz. This should be familiar to you. We saw him right back in Shkolim, not that long ago. So he's waking everyone up in the morning. He's one of the 13 officers of the Beis HaMikdash. So he's waking people up in the morning. And he says, Kohanim, time for Avoda. Levim, time to get step on the platform. Sing Shira. Yisrael, time for your Ma'amadchem, for the Ma'amadim. If you don't know what that means, wait till Tanis. We'll discuss it then. Vayakol Nishma B'shosh Parsos. And he had a loud voice, projected three Parsos. Ma'isa B'Agrippas HaMelech Shayaba B'derech. So there was an incident with Agrippas, King Agrippas. He was walking by, Vishamakola became a parsos. He was three parsos away from Gvini. He heard him. So impressed, he sent Gvini gifts when he got home. And even though Gvini, three parsos, that sounds pretty impressive, Kohen Gadol is even better. It's a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. Mar Ukvar Amar Ana Hashem, Vinishma Kolo B'Yericho. That when he says Ana Hashem, that's the Vidui. He's doing the confession on the carbon. There is an interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, which vidui? Meaning, remember the Avodah and Yom Kippurim? So there's a number of viduim that he says. Three to be precise. We'll do it later on. But Rashi over here says it's the vidui. Right? Where's the Rashi? Right? Thank you. So, Kvar Amar Ana Hashem, Kvar Pam Achas Hayam Ma'aseh Shaya Kohen Gadol, Mizvada Al Paro B'Yom Kippurim. So Rashi is convinced that's talking about his part. Meaning, again, there are three of them. But Rashi says it's going on his part. Okay, so why Rashi is convinced that's the first vidui? That requires a pshat. I don't have one. Could be. And the distance from Yerushalayim to Yericho is 10 parsa. And the Gemara notes, and it's more impressive for the Kohen Gadol, because Kohen Gadol at this point in time, it's weak. He's weak, and Gvini, first thing in the morning, full of energy, got a good night's sleep. And another reason why it's more impressive for the Kohen Gadol, whose voice projected not just 10 parsos, but 10 parsos during the day. And sound transmits during the day, not as well as it transmits during the night. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that this is so? Sound travels much better during the night, during the day, and Rabbi Yeshua Malevi says, I will explain why that's so. The sun, going through the sky, like a saw cutting through wood. Again, the Gemara's understanding of the Ma'oros is that the sun is cutting through the Rakia. And as it's cutting its way through the Rakia, it has basically a sound that's generated. And it's a constant sound that's generated. Okay, good. So maybe I can't explain this in modern physical terms, but it doesn't matter. In other words, that there's a constant noise that's produced during the day, which is obviously going to combat any sound that you're trying to produce. And so therefore, it's more impressive for the Kohen Gadol to broadcast his voice during the day. So A, he went 10 parsos, as opposed to Gvini, who only went 3. B, it was he's weak. He's a Kohen Gadol fasting and doing the Avoda. Gvini was not. And C, he was able to broadcast this during the day. Gvini was only to do this at night. It was doing it during the night. I should have read more. V'aychir g'diyuma lo shmei. And the sawdust of the day. Right? You ever look, see through a window, and you see all the dust? And the sawdust of the day, it's called low. It took me forever to figure this out. Lo shmei. Right? That's what it's called, low. Pshat in the Pasuk in Daniel, the daira ara, all that sawdust, lo chashivna. Now, again, the simple pshat is it's not considered, meaning it's not substantial. But now we're going to say a new pshat in the pasuk in Daniel. It's called low. Low. It's that's what it is. Tanu Rabban Yomalei Galgal Chama Nishma Kol Hamona Shavrami.
The called Daira Arab is all the people who live on the earth.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry. So everybody who lives on the earth is as choshev as insignificant as the dust that we see in the
right. It's like this law. This matter called law. The Yomalei Galgal Chama Nishma Kol Hamona Shavrami. If had it not been for the constant sawdust of the sun and the sound produced by the sun, we wouldn't be able to hear Rome. And had it not been for Rome, we'd be able to hear the sun. In other words, basically the Gemara is bothered. How come we don't hear it? Meaning there's this constant sound that's produced, and we don't hear it. So the Gemara says, well, look, if there wasn't the sun, we'd be able to hear Rome. And if it wasn't Rome, we'd be able to hear the sun. The two sounds cancel one another out. So basically they're there, they're ever present. And the reason why we don't hear it is because both of them end up canceling each other out.
So the sound of Rome is also only by day.
Right, Lechora. Right, your observation is correct.
Okay. In medical terms, like I have tinnitus, you always hear the sound.
Right.
The only way to take it away
right.
is to get another sound.
Right, to cancel it. Very, very good. Tanur Rabban, let's just finish up the daf. Shalosh kolos hochin misofa olam v'atsofo. Three sounds that are just universal, cover the entire world. So as we just discussed, that the sound of the sun cutting through the rakia, kol amona shel Romi, as we also just discussed, the sound that's produced by Rome, the kol nishma b'shar shiotze min haguf, and the sound that's produced when the neshama leaves the guf. The yeshom emaf leida, and some say that the sound of the leida also reverberates throughout the entire world. The yeshom emaf ridaya, the plow going through the ground. Ubal Rabbanon Rachme, top of Chafal Famad Aleph, Anishama, Bishash Yotzem in a Guf, Uvat Lua. Now that sound, as the Neshama leaves the Guf, we don't hear it. And the Gemara says, and the reason why we don't hear it is because the Chachamim asked for Rachmanis. It's a hard sound to hear. It would lead to a lot of Chalisha Das. So therefore, the Chachamim asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, can we please cancel that sound? And this will not be the first time in the Masechta we're going to see. We're going to see it later on, where the Chachamim basically asked for a cancellation of a phenomena. And so this is one of a couple of times we're going to see this in the Masechta, where permission was granted, the Chachamim's wishes were granted, and so therefore we no longer hear the Neshama leaving the Guf. At Khan, we stop over here tomorrow to pick it up from the Daf God willing. Tomorrow we'll finish the Parak.